Does everybody remember that there were two main reforms when you read the history of Israel? One was by Hezekiah, and the other was Josiah. And both of them happened when both of them knocked down the high places and when they began to celebrate the Passover with purity, right? Zephaniah was a distant relative of King Hezekiah. He was the great, great, great grandson. And he reigned, his period of prophecy was during Josiah's reign. So he was the one that was the prophet of God that influenced Josiah so that there would be the, never has there been such a Passover. Zephaniah means hidden of God, hidden of Yahweh. That's what the word technically means, and it suggests that he was a child during the time of Manasseh, when Manasseh put the golden calf, two of them, in the courts of the Lord, and reinstituted all of the the blasphemies that Hezekiah had destroyed. Fundamentally, the book of Zephaniah is a piercing description of the day of the Lord, and that how in each generation you must be prepared as if tomorrow or today is that day of the Lord. His singular message is repentance. The book was written about 630 B.C. Josiah reigned from 640 B.C. to 609. Now, the interesting thing about Josiah is that, about Zephaniah, is that there had been 50 years of apostasy and 50 years without the voice of prophecy. And the whole land had gone back into the ways of the world around them. The book is punctuated by two famous hymns. We'll read both of those. The Day of the Lord, and then the Zion hymn. Chapter 1 describes the destruction of the world and the Jerusalem that now is in particular. So hopefully if we've just celebrated the Fast of Ab, that's the reason that we should read this now. Zephaniah expands on two prophecies in Amos and Isaiah that he took their words and expanded it. The day of God is portrayed as the day of Yahweh's sacrifice. It has to be seen that it isn't some singular isolated event in a little place in Israel. It's a cosmic event, that the day of the Lord will have. The day of the Lord will be such that it will make all arguments and discussions about God and everything else meaningless. It's a day of utter darkness and gloom, and the sound, it contrasts two things. It contrasts or shows the difference between the day of the Lord and the day of creation, and it also contrasts the destruction of the Tower of Babel with the new revelation. It says that the sound of wailing, it's a day of utter darkness and gloom, whose sounds of wailing and howling, they stand in sharp contrast with what the people are called into the Lord's presence are, and that's hush before the Lord, silence before the Lord. The promises of remnant will be saved, but it's the remnant of those, the remnant, the only ones that are saved are the ones that are already the outcasts. They are already the widows and the orphans. And the idea of, the fundamental idea of Zephaniah, when you see it as its theme, is that your individual repentance and the people's repentance has cosmic significance. It's what affects the world. And it's where the idea that the ancient rabbis always believed wherever they were was the center of the universe. This is one of the books where they got that idea, because what that small group of people did affected the entire universe. The thing that's, there's been a lot of people in Bananas that have left. And the people in Bananas that have, the reason Bananas is unique is because Bananas is the richest group. It's the ones that have the most ties to the world. And we're going to talk about that in the big group, because the idea of the difficulty of a rich man entering into the kingdom of heaven is compared to a camel passing through the eye of a needle. With everyone that left, when the fire got hot under them, then they decided that they had other options. Well, I can promise you with everything in me that the fire is going to get hot in you and around you. And if you have other options, you probably will, unless the fear of the Lord has entered into your life, you will exercise those other options. Zephaniah 1. The word of the Lord which came unto Zephaniah the son of Cushi, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah the son of Amon, king of Judah. I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I mean, he doesn't even say hi.
There's no worm up there.
He doesn't say hi.
He does. He's at the end. So he say, "How you doing?" I'm kicking your ass.
Yeah.
Have a good day, huh?
Yeah. Short for.
You think I am bad, hard? I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of heaven, and the fishes of the sea, and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. Do you understand that unless you personally have an understanding of the day of the Lord, every other thing about God's stuff is meaningless? It becomes nice little theology or a philosophy by which you live, but it has no life and no meat and no substance. Unless you know that the day of the Lord could happen at any given moment, at any second, and that is what guides you, that's the fear of the Lord that is the motivator, that's what controls your life. And anything else will lead you astray. That's always been the case. This was written 620 years before Christ. And yet every prophet of God, every book of the Bible was written from this perspective. The day of the Lord could be now. And that stops all alliances, all confederacies. It stops all idolatry. It stops all false religion. It stops all. It produces the need for fellowship. It produces the need for not letting anything affect you. It produces not letting, having anything stand between you and God at any given moment. It creates instant obedience. But it's only that creates it. If you don't believe this, if you don't believe the day of the Lord is near and hastening, then I'm just wasting my breath. Can you understand why dispensationalists came into being?
I don't know what that is.
No, it's that God is dealing, that God has to do this and this before that can happen. That everything isn't finished. You remember that the book of Zephaniah is where we got the concept of hot seats.
So you can see why why people don't read this book.
Huh?
You can see why people don't read this book.
I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, in the name of the cherubim with the priests. And them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and swear by the other Lord, is what it says, and that swear by Malcolm. All these are false gods, false images, false value systems. And them that are turned back from the Lord, them that have fallen away, and those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired for him, hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God. Now, the better translation of that is, shut up your mouth. Stop the mind talk. Hush before the presence of God. Now, the opposite of that is what we're going to deal with. Soon we'll hear there'll be wailing and howling and gnashing of teeth and screaming. Being still, that there be silence in the temple for the space of a half hour. Can you see the contrast? Those that fear the Lord stand in awe and stand in stillness. Those that don't constantly have a complaint, constantly have something that's some reason that it's not finished. That will leave for 1,000 reasons. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand, for the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice. He has bid his guests. The sacrifice is all of time. Boom. It's offered up. The guests are those that have been as that black hole is speeding toward us thousands of times the speed of light, and is it just about to hit, and those that are in him are pulled up and set in eternity at the wedding table while everything around them is utterly destroyed. And it's an instant thing. He will come in the same way that you saw him leave. He will come in the clouds, but he isn't going to play spiritual yo-yo. He's not going to go up and then we're going to come down again and go up and come down again. At this instant, all the heavens shall melt with fervent heat. With great noise shall the inhabitants of the earth, for the moments, the seconds left, be screaming and yelling, and calling for the rocks to fall upon them, to hide them from the presence of God. I mean, either this is right or it's wrong. It's not anything that you can... I mean, if it's wrong, then you can call me crazy, because I know that this is going to happen in my lifetime. It could easily happen tonight. And unless you know that, you're going to be deceived at every juncture.
When you said that about options, I just got a chill to that. You know, it's like options are such an enemy of hearing. You know, it's like to be despised. Options.
Every person from Bananas that left with options. They have this great potential. And they've all blamed it on me.
They think too small.
And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. What is the strange apparel? It's anything except the righteousness of Christ. You understand that an option is a spot and a wrinkle on the apparel, the garment is touching the flesh. Do you have any options? Well, I'm concerned about my family. Or I'm concerned about this, or I'm concerned about that. The consistent testimony throughout the scriptures is the way in which you can best take care of your family is for you to be a faithful disciple, then he will go and take care of your family. If you use the excuse of having something to take care of in order for you not to be in a state of obedience, then you're being deceived. Capish? Does anybody have any doubts about that? Anybody want to argue scripture? Well, the issue of Zephaniah and these prophets has nothing to do with those individual issues. The issue of this is to let the fear of God override every other stimulus within you. What happens is how that's worked out. But again, show me a place in the scriptures where there isn't a body where what you believe is tested. I mean, it has to come down to a point in which there's people that you lay down your life for, you lay down your own self-interest for, in order that what you believe internally is tested. And that's the only way that it's ever been from the beginning of time to Revelation. Hold thy peace, or be quiet, or hush at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. The Lord hath prepared a sacrifice, he hath bid his guests. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children, and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. And the same day also will I punish all those that leap on the threshold, which filled their master's houses with violence and deceit. Now, do you remember, anybody remember what it means to leap on the threshold? It's to do the high place dance instead of being silent. Whatever your high place dance is, you leap, you play the game, you pipe and expect others to dance, you mourn and expect others to lament, you jump and, I mean, it's this dance that goes around in your head. And it's all, you got to understand, that dance has as its, the leaping on the threshold has as its common, the commonality among all that leap on the threshold is its sincerity. Which have filled our master's house with violence and deceit, and it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that there shall be the noise of a cry from the fish gate, and a howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hills. Howl, ye inhabitants of Maktesh, for all the merchant people are cut down. All they that bear silver are cut off. Now the bearing silver is the ones that bear their own redemption. Bearing his own redemption, meaning that his work of helping people is his purpose. I mean, I could go down the list and show what each of our redemption was, but we cannot bear the silver. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Now that's the one that should put the fear of God in you. Therefore their God shall become a booty and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. The great day of the Lord is near, it is near, and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty men shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. A day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And it will bring distress upon men that they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord. And their blood shall be poured out as dust and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Now the word dwell there is that word that means that have sat down, that have made this their home. Now this next section is where the concept of the hot seats came from. Gather yourselves together, yea, gathered, O nation not desired, or people not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Seek ye the Lord, all you meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. For Gaza shall be forsaken, Ashkelon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted up. Woe unto the inhabitants of the sea coast, the nation of the Cherethites. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, the land of the Philistines. I will even destroy thee, that there shall be no inhabitant. The sea coast shall be dwellings and cottages for shepherds, foals for flocks. And the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. They shall feed thereupon in the houses of Ashkelon. They shall lie down in the evening, for the Lord their God shall visit them and turn away their captivity. Now, in opposition of that is, I have heard the reproach of Moab and the revilings of the children of Ammon, where they have reproached my people and magnified themselves against their border. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab shall be as Sodom, and the children of Ammon as Gomorrah, even the breeding of nettles and salt pits in a perpetual desolation. The residue of my people shall spoil them, the remnant of my people shall possess them. This shall they have for their pride, because they reproached and magnified themselves against the people of the Lord of hosts. The Lord will be terrible unto them, for he will famish all the gods of the earth, and men shall worship him, every one from his place, even all the isles of the heathen. Yea, Ethiopians also shall be slain by my sword. And he will stretch out his hand against the north and destroy Assyria, and will make Nineveh a desolation and dry like a wilderness. And the flock shall lie down in the midst of her. All the beasts of the nations, both the cormorant and the bittern, shall lodge in the upper lintels of it. Their voice shall sing in the windows. Desolation shall be in the thresholds, for he shall uncover the cedar wood. This is the rejoicing city that dwelt carelessly, that said in her heart, I am, and there is none beside me. How has she become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down in? Everyone that passeth by here shall hiss and wag his head. Now,
it says in verse 11, and men shall worship him, meaning God. Does that mean? No. It's not capital.
No.
It says he will famish all the gods of the earth. Who's he terrible?
The Lord will do terrible unto them, for he will famish. The Lord will starve all the gods of the earth.
And then it says, and men shall worship him, meaning the Lord.
Yeah. Okay. Now, woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice, she received not correction, she trusted not in the Lord, she drew not near to her God. Her princes within are roaring lions, her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bone till the morrow. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted her sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. I have cut off the nations. Their towers are desolate. I have made their streets waste, that none passeth by. Their cities are destroyed, so that there is no man, that there is none inhabitant. I said, surely thou wilt fear me, thou wilt receive instruction. So their dwelling should not be cut off, howsoever I punish them. But they rose early, and corrupted all their doings. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour out mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for the earth, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then will I turn to the people a pure language. This is the part that's the corollary, or the opposite of the first chapter was the corollary of creation. Now it's the third chapter, or this part of it, is the corollary of the Tower of Babel. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering. In that day thou shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings, when thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. I will leave also in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, neither speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgment, he has cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee, thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion let thine hands not be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. And behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. Now, again, the message of Zephaniah is this incredible day of the Lord, but the mercy of the Lord on the other hand. But it's all based on repentance. It's all based on turning from self. Repentance becomes more and more easy the more you see that you have less and less options. You understand that? If you're without options, repentance becomes fairly easy. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to know the fear of God. I want us to start building. Let's go to Haggai. It's the next page. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Josedech the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Nobody ever says that. You understand that? Remember what happened here? They had been called back from Babylon. And the king of Babylon had let them out. And they'd come back to rebuild the temple. And the only thing standing was one cornerstone and the altar. And they all got back and they started out. Well, we need to
form a committee.
Let me fix up my house here so I have a place to live while I'm working in the temple. Anyway, 16 years later now, they haven't done a damn thing. It's still the ark. I mean, it's still the altar and the cornerstone. It's still the only thing standing. Now, that's when Haggai was called to yell at them. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put in a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and then, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and you run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I call for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands." God says we're supposed to look and see him and everything. Do you realize it hasn't rained for 36 days? Mm-hmm. That rather than the life-giving moisture raining from heaven, we have the moisture of humidity which is in the air of the judgment. Why? It's always the same, because we seek to build our own houses and the Lord's house lies waste, because we seek to plan and scheme and make our own lives, and we don't fear the Lord, we don't understand repentance. So again, if I've ever said, and I pray that I haven't, but if I've ever said that, or given you the impression that you had, that this is the place you had to be saved, I mean, that's so foreign to me, I can't even, it just doesn't make any sense. What I've said is that we are a people that have gone about things a little bit differently, because we are walking in what we have seen. As Harry likes to say, it's full contact Christianity. Nobody's going to say God is going to send you to hell if you leave here. Nobody's ever said that. You know, if there's another place where the cross is preached and what we do is done, man, I want to go there. I can't take going to, you know, the Highland Park United Methodist Church, or Castle Linda Baptist Church, or some, I've tried it. I can't, it doesn't work for me. But I have never said, nor have I even thought, that those people aren't saved. That's not my business.
Can you say our business to save who's saved here?
That's right. But this idea that people get, that, that's just crazy.
I used to get tangled up into the saved and salvation thing, but you've read the scripture to me about work out your salvation in fear and trembling, and this is the day that you are saved, and it's in the moment, it's not into the future like I had always labeled it to be.
That's right.
It's two different things.
Well, again, I want, if you have any fears or anything to say or any, please say them. Don't.
By definition of lie, it's like parents who say,
that they love their children, but they believe this is a cult. That's obviously one of those two statements is a lie. They cannot coexist. It's not possible to coexist for, this is it, I found it, you're my brother, you're my sister, I love you, I'll never leave, I'm going to lay down my life, and then 6 months later pick up and leave. Those things cannot coexist. One is a lie. Everything he's ever said to me is a lie by his actions. That's all.
Yeah, but stop a minute. The thing that you know, I would prefer that if somebody left, that they would, you know, the hands would be laid on them, and you know, then there would be more of a sense of no matter what they had to leave for. But there would be more of a sense that there would be more of a freedom to call if there's something, or there's, you know, it's just it stops all the weirdness. But if somebody doesn't have hands laid on them, that doesn't mean anything. The scripture, the promise of God is that they can go in and out of the sheepfold and be fed.
No,
but wait a minute, listen. My prayer is that he's fed somewhere. I don't have any animosity towards. I don't have any animosity towards anybody that has left. My prayer. I mean, do you understand? They can go in and out of the sheepfold. My only reason for preaching the way I do is because I think, I believe, I sense that the end of time is very near. Now, you may not agree with me. There's part of you that may agree that there's some kind of a dispensationalism where you think something else has to happen before the end can come, and you may be right. But everything I know by experience, by revelation, and by word says that the end is extremely near. And so therefore, and the particular manner in which we study, the particular manner in which we have our Bible studies, the manner in which we have a community, all of this stuff came from that as the predicate. No, I'm not saying that Christians have to live in community in order to be saved. But I am saying that if any church could experience the sense of community, their sense of fellowship will be enlightened. I'm not saying you need to understand the mysteries of the book of Leviticus in order to be saved, but I am saying that your joy of apprehension will be greater if you do. I'm not saying you have to understand the mysteries of the feast to be saved, but I am saying that as a body, experiencing those feasts cause us to have a greater revelation of Jesus Christ. But people hear these things and they say, well, Oli said that this is the only way to be saved. I've never said that. I mean, I can't even believe. But it's a way that you have in which you can make me out to be the ogre in order to justify and create this false belief system. It's a scarecrow that you created that you can be justified in leaving it.
And God's nowhere anywhere in that.
I know.
It's like you're it and God in that equation.
It's just crazy.
Well, it's not like they even left. I mean, I don't know anybody in Adventist that left because they believe differently. Everybody that I have seen leave has left over an offense.
Well, and part of it that you are, you know, the office that you are heading, yeah, you're the one yelling at them. I mean, the preacher, they hear it. That's where they hear it. They hear from you. And so, I mean, it's understandable
for
them.
It's God for him.
It's not you, but it's coming through you.
Well, they feel the messenger.
It says not many should be rabbis or teachers, for in many things you'll offend everyone.
I don't know John Blum at all, but it seems like that's the only person that has gone from us that still is connected with us. Is that right?
Oh, no. No.
Well, I was just trying to think of an example. But let me speak for myself. I feel like I could leave to go do something that I thought needed to be done, and that I would have perfect freedom to come back.
Of course.
I think that I would hope everybody would know that if I did that, I wasn't turning my back on anybody or spitting on anybody. I mean, I was leaving to do something.
And because you wouldn't be.
Or you that's the difference.
You wouldn't be.
I did it twice.
Thank you. Well, it's like
not that I recommend it.
I was last night. In this issue, issue? I mean, Moses, I mean, you know, of course, well, he was raised in sort of a different culture, but I mean, he split away from his people for 40 years. Was it 40 years? But when he came back, it was still, you know, he came back fully into his community. And, I mean, he was like the biggest servant of all for them. He got them out of there. And, I mean, I think about him. And, you know, God was working with him all those 40 years, I'm sure.
Well, again, I would only encourage all of you not to, I mean, to search the scriptures to see whether what you believe is true. I mean, so that you can test it against something. Don't leave it in this almighty gray. Listen carefully. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Right. Can you hear that? You go into the sheepfold, and the sheepfold is the type of the body. You go out into the world, you go in and out and find pasture.
For me, it's like we're just giving all this too much breath in this leaving thing. It's be like sitting around giving so much breath to getting people to come here. We don't sit around and do that.
Well, anyway.
Well, the only breath is just the sorrow, the separation of somebody leaving,
the hurt. There's a question I asked a long time ago. It always bothers me. If all we wasn't here, what would happen? My existence. It just always bothers me.
Well, it's not an issue because, I mean, I was gone for, it used to, a long time ago it was an issue. But I was gone for 6 months. Things continue. I don't need. I'm less than needed anymore.
Stuff can happen.
But there are some people that do rely totally on you, and that would be certainly testimony.
Well, that would be. No, I mean the body. There's no doubt now that the body would continue. I didn't. It was a long time ago that I didn't think it would. But, I mean, as early as 1980, I was gone for 6 months. Well, huh?
I mean,
as early as in the evolution of the body. I mean, I was gone. I mean, that's crazy. I'm nothing. I mean, I'm not
we
needed.
We could have wine during Bob's day. Rutledge would take over. He's approved.
Yeah, right.
But I want you to understand, and I'm going to talk about this in the big group, that again, it's that if you saw in Zephaniah at the end, he said that I will leave a poor and afflicted people that shall be, have the revelation. I'm not saying anybody has to be poor. You know, you can be a millionaire, I don't care. But unless you are poor and afflicted, unless the riches no longer control you, and that, see, as long as you're living out, you know, if you're a member of, which church can I pick on now? Of the St. Michael's Episcopal Church up in the Park Cities.
That's
it. Huh?
That's a very acceptable.
That's an acceptable church, and the membership is very wealthy. And they all preach that it's not whether you have money or not, it's your attitude about the money. But the problem is, when you're in that large of an environment, sitting, you know, you never get tested about your attitude.
Yeah,
you don't know what your attitude is.
Because everybody else, you're all the same. You don't have any poor people sitting next to you.
Yeah. You don't have any of those disgusting poor people.
You need a dollar. Fish in the ocean of the same.
I have $10 for coffee for something.
What if you're, like, Bernard?
But let me say this. Don't think it's strange if anybody else's leaving has affected you. It's not a strange thing. If you have any doubts, let's get them out on the table. I don't care. Again, it's not my business, nor would I ever want it to be, to say whether or not anyone. All I can say is I know the scriptures promise that they can go in and out of the sheepfold and be fed and find pasture. So my prayer, I know that that repentance is required. Repentance isn't meaning, oh, I'm coming back to Trinity. That's not repentance. Repentance is turning from self, wherever they, whatever happens. So I'm not, I mean, just don't take this stuff so seriously.
Amen.
All right? I mean, if you want to leave, leave. If you want to leave, leave. Okay, take a big guy.
Slink out when nobody's looking. Nobody's paying attention.